also want to say that we do not intend to allow the county to take away our private property rights without a challenge.
Well, that was the consensus of the against people at the customary use item yesterday. And as I mentioned to you before the meeting yesterday, nothing is going to happen at this meeting. Not really, because it was a chance for the board to get together and talk about what they kind of want to do. But, you know, some people were asking, you know, make a ruling today. Well, you don't understand the nature of the agenda item. It's a discussion. You would have to have a notice that you're going to have an actual item that you're going to vote on that's going to be an ordinance. That would require a specific hearing for the ordinance, and then that could pass. But, you know, this was just a let's get together and talk about it officially at the meeting kind of moment. That was Diane Burnett, and, you know, several other people mentioned the same thing. Look, as you heard top of the hour news, David was saying that, look, if they pass customary use and they try to take people's, you know, the ability to use people's private beaches on Perdido Key for the public, there will be lawsuits. It's like, there will be lawsuits. guarantee it. And if they don't, there will be lawsuits too. Charles Krupnik, who is the director of the Perdido Key Association.
One final comment. It was mentioned a few times ago, and I hadn't heard it for years, about those rich people on Perdido Key. You know, I thought that saving, hard work, maybe having a goal like earning a piece of property, of private property on the beach, could be part of the American dream. I hope it still is on Perdido, on Pensacola, in Escambia County. Thanks very much.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the issues, that, and I've talked to you about this, you know, the last couple of times we've brought this issue up, is the pro-customary use people, the people who want to be able to walk on somebody else's property, which, you know, that's what customary use is, the lawful ability to walk on land that by deed and property lines belongs to somebody else from, you know, basically just south of Perdido Key Drive all the way to the Mean High Tide Line. On Perdido Key, there are different portions of Perdido Key, but in the areas that are disputed, okay, they own it all the way to the line of the water, the average water line, which is, by the way, confusing because you can sometimes be on sand and it can be legal because the tide is actually, the water is below the average line. And there are times when you can be standing in the water, and if the tide is high and it's above the line, you're actually on property, and that's illegal. Now, nobody really enforces it that way. The way it gets enforced typically is if you're in the water, you're fine. And if you're on the sand, you're on somebody's property. But it legally, it's just, the whole thing is a very weird thing. You know, on the one hand, it is a little bit odd for people to believe that they can just own the sand, although not that odd because they own sand on all kinds of bodies of water, on lakes, on the intercoastal, Ono Island is all trespassing because it's all privately owned. And, yeah, you know, but when it comes to sand, people have a different idea, especially on salty sand. But, you know, on the other hand, as we've talked about many times, people have property rights. On the pro side, the people who want to have customary use access, which is essentially, it's like the same as having an easement. You know, an easement allows you to go on somebody's land. Like when you're on, you're driving down a street and you see that there's a utility pole or junction box or telephone pole or whatever, and it's 4 foot off of the street. Okay. That is a easement on somebody else's land. Like if they have, you know, that's front yard of their house. And basically what that means is that, you know, that land belongs to them, but the government is allowed to go on it. And typically that's why it's safe to park in places where you're on the street side of the utilities because you're on the public easement when you're parking there. Now, there are also limits, you know, don't park in front of somebody's, like, front door on their lawn. But, you know, the short version is if you ever want to know where it's safe to park, not on the street, generally safe to park where there's an easement, which means when you're on the utility pole side of the street, if there are on both sides, that's fine too. But anyway, the point is, there are places where you get that. And the idea here is to create that same kind of, or to preserve, I don't want to engage in loaded language. The pro people think it's preserving something that's always existed. The con people think that it's creating something that has never existed or does not exist recently. And that is part of the issue because you have to be able to show that it's been continuous and undisputed. And they're trying to make the point that, well, clearly it's disputed. Here we are. You know, but that's not quite the legal standard, I don't think. Frances Obits, one of the, I believe she's one of the yellow shirt ladies, the Save Our Beaches kids.
Our tax money, you know, has been spent every single time we have a hurricane to replenish or restore these beaches. whether it's county, state, or federal, that money belongs to everyone. We all pay taxes, and that's our money.
Yes, true, but it doesn't mean you own the end result of what that money was used to restore. And this is just a brief note on my own kind of progression on this issue. I was really undecided on this for a long time. It just seemed like both sides had a lot of good arguments. And yet, I'll just tell you my own reaction. The more the yellow shirt ladies and the pro customary use people talk, the wronger they look. The more they persuade, the less persuasive their case gets. Like this. Okay, public money. You know, if the hurricane hits, public money gets used to restore the beach. Okay. If public money through FEMA gets used to restore your house after a hurricane, does that mean the public can go in your yard and go in your house and use your bathroom and take your food? Well, no. Because just the fact that FEMA restores the thing doesn't mean it belongs to everybody. It's different to engage in an actual spend of money for beach nourishment for sand against the salt water as opposed to sand on the dune and also as opposed to FEMA reconstructive surgery, because just because FEMA rebuilds it doesn't mean that it belongs to everybody. So that's a nonsense argument. But that's the argument that she is making right there. Now, she apparently had some real rough, or not her, Laura Bedgrass, I think is how you say her name. Sometimes they say the name, but it's hard to tell the spelling. You know, they don't, like, put up a note on the, you know, video or whatever. But anyway, she says that even when it comes to access in the water, which, again, typically is how you're allowed to do, that even then they get kicked out of areas. And I am sure, I am confident that there are times that the public has the right of access and they get denied. And I'm also confident that there are times when the property owner has a right of restriction and people violate it. Everybody has seemed to be very unclear about these rules for quite some time, and they have genuinely been in a state of confusion. To some degree, they still are. But, okay, put that aside. This is not an experience that anybody wants to have.
In front of our
condo. So that's not right. You can walk in the water. You can walk in the water. You definitely can
last
do that.
Year we were not allowed to.
So I don't know who's
to.
Chasing you out of there. That's not right.
Do you believe me when I tell you last year we were not allowed to? We were told we could walk in front of the beach access or go over to Sandy Kittner Beach Colony. I don't know, to the right of Access 1 and walk.
I do believe you. I do believe
okay.
you.
Yeah, I do too. I'm sure people get told all kinds of things, and because people don't understand the law, people don't understand the law in all kinds of situations. They put up signs that if you trespass on my property, I'll shoot you. Yeah, if you do, you go to jail for murder. I mean, like, you know, people don't understand the law in all kinds of ways. And property rights law, you know, is certainly no different from that.
So what are we going to do for this year's spring break until all of this is resolved? It's coming in 2 weeks.
I know it is.
What are we
Because when the spring
do?
Breakers come, how are you going to handle this?
Well, I'll tell you this. All the compromising seems to have to happen on that side of the room.
Okay.
Because they're the ones who own the property. The only investment anyone has on this side of the room is T-shirts.
That is not so. I live on Perdido Key. How dare you say that my only...
So if we're
going to
have a compromise, the compromise they had...
That's... It's not true, but it's hilarious. There's the property owners that have spent millions and millions of dollars to own the property, and then there's the beach ladies who bought yellow shirts. Oh, man, that's just rough.
Who own the property? The only investment anyone has on this side of the room is T-shirts.
Oh, Steve Stroberger with the Daily Zinger. My God, wow. Rough to recover after that one. Again, she's right. It's not quite true. There are people, a lot of the people who want public access own not on the shore, but inland, for example, condos. And they say they were promised access or they expected access. They wanted to be able to walk down to the beach. And that was kind of their trade-off is, well, if I didn't know I was going to be able to walk down and use the beach, I wouldn't have bought a condo that was, you know, a property or two line off of the beach. And that's their argument on the other side. Steve Joy. it's pretty funny.
We've been talking about, we just got out of a shade meeting about litigation. None of us want it anymore. We're losing when it comes to litigation. I don't want this. I don't want this.
Can we get a vote today?
No, we're not going to have a vote today.
To just establish a certain amount from the water back for spring break?
That's not what we're going to do today.
All right, so nothing's going to happen. But are we going to have crime scene tape?
Which nobody wants. Perfect end to that series of comments. The pro side say that they've gone out there before and used it customarily, and nobody raised an objection. There's something sort of anti-us, you know, about restricting beach access to only the people who own the property. And Steve Stroberger and the con side, or the preserve the status quo side, say, well, there's also something very anti-us about saying that other people get to use your private property. That's literally in the Constitution, that you cannot take private property without compensation. And the Fifth and the 14th Amendments protect the right to life, liberty, and property. It's just the stuff that I see in these meetings is always funny because, you know, there are a lot of people who are like frequent flyers. There are a lot of people who think they know everything, and they show up and they've got very adamant opinions and they say things that are completely false. Like, you know, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness is the phraseology. Well, yeah, in the Declaration of Independence, but even there, pursuit of happiness was changed from property. It was meant to soften it persuasively. And the Declaration of Independence is like the preamble. It's just a statement of intent. It's meant to persuade you, but it's not like binding upon us the way the Constitution is. And the Constitution, life, liberty, and property, twice, Fifth to 14th Amendment. Anyway, so they had a long conversation about this. Steve Stroberger handed out constitutions to everybody. And then, and in a very telling moment, the pro customary use people, some of them anyway, the yellow shirt people, didn't take the constitutions. And he's like, well, that tells me something, you know? But you obviously need it because there are elements you've said that are false about that. So what did they do? Well, John, what would you expect the county commission to do?
I'm still laughing about the zinging.
The shirt comment?
Yeah, that the was shirt. Good. That was really good.
They pushed. They basically said, we're not going to decide anything today, which is fine in a way because Mike Kohler wasn't there. And, you know, it actually used to be District 2 until the redistricting. And Mike's opinion is going to matter because, I mean, ideally you'd like to get a vote of 5-0 on this because it's such a contentious topic. You're not going to get a vote of 5-0. And here's why. Steve Stroberger is against customary use, period. Now, he wants open to public access as much as possible. He wants to, you know, open the state park more. And, you know, he's on board with getting a daily rate at Johnson Beach. And Ashley Hoffberger wants a daily rate at Johnson Beach. And Mike Kohler wants a daily rate at Johnson Beach, which would allow a lot more use, although, you know, limited parking facilities, Johnson Beach is of a certain kind of thing. It's not the same as Perdido Key, obviously. The beach ladies and their cohort and the yellow shirts are not going to be happy until they get, you know, every inch of dune to salt water from the state line all the way to Johnson Beach and beyond. But, you know, that's why the comment about compromise is you guys aren't willing to compromise and you're the ones who are going to, you know, need to. So they pushed, and in a weird kind of moment, Lumen May, Liberal Democrat, okay, he says the beach should be for everybody, but he doesn't want to lose any lawsuits. No, good luck. You know, this is going to be a lawsuit. Ashley is sided with, you know, the property owners, or seem to, you know, saying property rights matter a lot to her. She's been waiting and listening. And Stephen Barry, oddly, not oddly because he aligned with Lumen May, and he often does, but oddly because the Liberal Democrat, who's not as adamant about property rights, he sided with him. And he said, let Allison Rogers, the county attorney, go out behind closed doors and talk with each of us and try to find a compromise that will work for all of us. So he basically wants Allison Rogers to conduct internal negotiations with all of the county commissioners outside of the Sunshine to try to find something they can all agree about. And what I kept thinking is, well, that is the purpose of the meeting. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do in the meeting is figure out something that you can all agree about. I don't know technically if what he's asking her to do is a Sunshine violation. It felt like one because he kind of said, well, you go, you talk to me and you talk to Lumen, you talk to Mike and you feel us out. And then you try to negotiate an agreement that we can all come out in public and vote for. And I'm thinking, well, that what? I mean, that's weird.
I don't know what the, you know, the tea leaves are amongst the board. I'm fine with moving forward with customary use. So I would ask that, you know, it Mike's, you know, Mike's opinion is going to be, you know, is going to be important. Allison has the opportunity to interact with each of us in a way that we don't have an opportunity to interact with each other.
What?
So
in private?
You know, if there's, you know, somewhat of a straw to say, I do want to move forward with something. I want to move forward with something that the majority of the board can support. which that means, you know, that she's going to have to spend some time with each of us to see what commonalities amongst the five opinions there are.
But that would be what you do in the meeting, and he's literally saying, do this privately, and then we'll come back to the meeting with something we can all agree about, which, you know, unless Allison communicates to one that somebody else has said this and goes as a go-between between them, it's not a violation of the but it's like a violation of the principle of the sunshine. It's not necessarily a violation of the law. It's a violation of the concept of having these discussions out in the public. So we'll see. Also, meanwhile, a letter has been drafted. It'll be sent to the National Park Service to ask them to look at either a fee waiver for locals or else a daily rate that people can afford instead of the $25 for 7 days, which nobody needs a 7-day pass if you're a local. So that also happened last night. Easy peasy, no problem. Everybody wants that. 526 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
There's no championship league for small business owners, but if there was, you'd be at the top of the standings. Because going pro with Lenovo Pro means you've got the winning formation, one-on-one advice, IT solutions, and customized hardware powered by Intel Core Ultra processors help you stay ahead of the competition. Business goes pro with Lenovo Pro. Sign up for free at Lenovo.com/pro. Lenovo, Lenovo.
Hey, if you're 64, turning 65, or you are retiring, or you just have questions about changing insurance to go on to Medicare, whether that affects you right now or not, or, you know, you want to know about Medicaid, or you want to know about some of these terms, like what's supplement? How does that apply to me? Does it apply to me? What's Advantage? I don't understand what that means. You know, or like I said, you know, what is Medicare? What is Medicaid? What's the difference between them? Which one do I qualify for? Both, neither, whatever. Ricky Stewart. She's a dear friend. Her whole family does insurance. I've known her since we've lived here for 13 years now. And if I were 64, I would be calling her because she handles this transition over onto Medicare. And she's helped so many of you guys, so many of our listeners, figure this stuff out. And every single time it's the same thing. Oh, my God, this is so stressful and confusing. Ricky made it easy. Ricky made it easy. Ricky answered my questions and made me understand, and it's so simple. And that's the point. Give her a call. She'll take care of you for this any time of year, not just during open enrollment. 341-2185 for Ricky Stewart Insurance. Look her up online at insuredbyricky, RICKI.com.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Why'd I go to the doctor? Working on the farm, my heart kept skipping a beat. I didn't think much of it, but my daughters made me get checked out. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com. Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
President Trump will deliver the State of the Union address Tuesday night. Hear it live on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Can I have what I ordered? All right! All right! Now, what was it that you ordered? A martini! What's in that?
I wouldn't describe Cocktail as the greatest movie that Tom Cruise ever made. But it does have Elizabeth Shue in it, so yeah, got that going for you. All right, 529 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. NASA celebrating a milestone in their Artemis II mission. They held a successful wet dress rehearsal at the Kennedy Space Center. 700,000 gallons of liquid propellant were loaded into the rocket. A crew went to the launch pad, demonstrated closing the Orion spacecraft's hatches, and two runs of terminal count were completed.
This is how we close the door.
That's right.
Demonstrated. Well done. All right, what else?
Well, that's really about it. They closed the doors, and the crew watched from the launch control center. That's it. Boy, I was losing my words there.
Look, kids, the door works. Woohoo! That's a concept.
I mean, it's better to know it works than not.
Fair enough. Yeah, test the doors by all means.
Well, you're going to the moon, you know.
Wet dress rehearsal. Woo.
Fox News, I'm CJ Pop. The pressure ramping up between the U.S. and Iran. President Trump on Air Force One.
I would think that would be enough time, 10, 15 days, pretty much maximum.
The president is extending his timeline. That still puts it in line with the two-week time frame that Iran had given to address the gaps after the second round of indirect talks with the U.S. earlier this week. The talks focus largely on Iran's nuclear program, but the U.S. also wants Iran to give up its long-range ballistic missiles.
As Fox's Madeline Rivera, President Trump says the economy is giving Americans a break as he takes a victory lap.
You notice, what word have you not heard over the last 2 weeks? Affordability. Because I've won. I've won affordability.
That during his campaign-style event in Georgia, leading up to the November midterms. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got a little bit of light rain across the area. It is nice and warm, though, 71 degrees. And we've got our full forecast. Brooke Richardson will have that in just a few minutes. A man being questioned by Pensacola police about threats against two public officials has died. Police say the man was at their headquarters on Wednesday when he complained of a medical issue. EMS was called. He was taken to the hospital where he ended up passing away. Investigators say he was being questioned about alleged online threats against the police chief and the mayor. His name has not been released. Well, a Pensacola man's facing a DUI charge after reportedly crashing his vehicle through a cemetery on Monday. Police say 40-year-old Richard Vallandigham ran through a fence on Pace Boulevard and Jackson Street, damaging several headstones. He's charged with DUI, causing property damage, and refusing a DUI test. He was released from the jail on Tuesday morning. A La Playa property owner told Escambia County commissioners on Thursday morning that a 1978 lawsuit had already settled their customary use questions. Tony Reeves, he said that a Florida court entered a final judgment against Escambia County 48 years ago, rejecting claims that the public had rights to the property.
In 1978, the Napier-Eaton Pelt lawsuit was filed, which encompasses the land that La Playa and Sandy Key currently occupy. A Florida court entered a final judgment against multiple defendants, including Escambia County. That final judgment rejected the county's claim that the defendants or the public had any right to utilize Passover Park on the property. In other words, this exact legal theory has already been litigated and lost by the county.
Public beach advocates said that people walked Perdido Key beaches for decades without being told to leave. Commissioner Steve Stroberger said he respects private property rights. He wants to increase beach access through other means. No vote was taken on Thursday. Well, a man's dead after he was shot by a deputy in Osceola County. That happened at a Walmart in Poinciana. The sheriff's office says that three men were shoplifting when the deputy confronted them and they ran. One apparently had a gun and was shot to death. Deputies say the other two suspects fled the scene. No arrests have been made. The deputy who fired his weapon was off duty and working for Walmart as a loss prevention officer at the time. Florida's Attorney General James Uthmeyer defending his side job at the University of Florida. Uthmeyer is a part-time law professor at the university and makes $100,000 a year teaching 2 hours a week. He is the highest paid adjunct professor at the law school with both salaries combined. Uthmeyer makes more than the governor, but said yesterday he still makes less than a first-year associate at his old law firm. Well, the city of a city in Pinellas County is taking a stand against drilling in the Gulf. The Clearwater City Council yesterday approving a resolution formally opposing offshore oil drilling. Federal officials announced last year they may lift a ban on Gulf drilling. According to the resolution, the long-term well-being of the community outweighs the long-term benefits that the drilling could offer. It's 535 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be seeing temperatures warming up as we head into your afternoon near 76 degrees. 20% chance of a stray shower. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 64 degrees. For Friday, 70% chance of some showers, high near 77. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 66 degrees. Going into Saturday, 60% chance of rain, high near 77 degrees. And Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 53. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. We've got cloudy skies, a little bit of light rain right now. Our next news at 6, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Some children carry more than backpacks into their day.
Right now, children at the Gulf Coast Kids House are facing trauma no child should experience.
Leadership Pensacola's class of 2026 is supporting the creation of a healing garden.
Your support helps turn pain into progress and stress into strength.
Donate online at PensacolaChamber.com.
Together, we can help healing take root.
You recognize the smell of marijuana, but it's not just a smell. It's a warning. If you can smell it, harmful chemicals are entering your lungs, bloodstream, and brain, and our children too. Every inhale affects brain development and triples the risk of serious respiratory issues. Protect your kids and grandkids from the dangers of marijuana. Their future is on the line. This message is sponsored by the Department of Children and Families and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Friday night, it's another gallery night party in downtown Pensacola. But move to around Plaza Ferdinand, Government, and surrounding area due to construction on Palafox. Enjoy the art vendors, music, food, and the fun of the Pensacon theme. Saturday, check out the Palafox Market from 9 till noon. North Palafox will be filled with farm fresh produce, plants, baked goods, and more, with over 200 vendors. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
You don't need someone yelling at you. You just want someone to say what you're already thinking. That's MVR. Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. They take the biggest stories of the day, cut through the nonsense, and say the quiet part out loud.
The American people have had enough.
Well, except for white women 55 plus.
There are a lot of white women that lean left.
Usually with a little sarcasm.
Thankfully, we know all the sane ones.
MVR, weekdays 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Mike Wood is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. He always joins us at this time on a Thursday. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So let's start with yesterday. Obviously, a major incident that we were all paying attention to at the condos at the Carlton Palms at Garden, just as you get down into town. What happened? You were on the scene, I know, but what happened?
We received a 911 call that there was an individual inside Carlton Palms, which everyone knows is a condo, is a residential building, firing multiple shots inside. Officers responded. The three initial officers that arrived on the scene were aware of a description of what he looked like, and by the time they got there, he was out on the parking lot. He faced one came in from the west. He faced that officer, and two more came in from the east. He was standing there. He was not trying to take any cover, and waiting on the officer to get out of his car. And he was ordered multiple times by these three officers to put the weapon down. He heard the officers behind him. He turned around and looked at them. And in just a couple of seconds after that, he raised the weapon toward the officers, and they were forced to fire.
Wow. Okay. Well, of course, he later on died on either at the hospital or on the way to the hospital, not at the scene. But so he was ordered to drop his weapon multiple times, refused, did not do so, did not comply, stood in the open, didn't take cover, and raised his gun at the officers, which is when they fired.
Yeah, that's right. And before that, while he was inside the building, he did put his gun in the face of a person. I don't know if it was an employee or a tenant. But he did put the gun in the face of this person, pulled the trigger, and the gun did not function.
Oh, my God. So somebody's life was saved by the fact that the gun malfunctioned.
Absolutely.
Wow. Well, thank God nobody else, you know, nobody was actually harmed. I mean, traumatized, certainly, but nobody was actually shot inside the building. Wow. Okay. Do we at this point know anything about, you know, I mean, officers who are involved in the shooting, they're all on desk duty for temporarily because that's what always happens, right?
Yeah, they're on paid administrative leave, which is standard. FDLE is in charge of the investigation. But, you know, and Andrew, people say that this is what the cops signed up for. This is not what we signed up for. These officers have to live with this the rest of their life. It was not it's not easy to do. And we all wish it didn't happen. We don't know what was going through this individual's mind, what was going on in his life, and I'm sure that all that will be brought out later in the investigation. But it's a terrible thing all around. We are just fortunate, and we thank God that nobody was injured in this, because with bullets flying outside, that's a heavily populated area with traffic, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of people inside. And our officers, they went and searched the building to make sure there were no victims inside, and fortunately, nobody else was hurt.
The interviews that I had seen on Channel 3 indicated that people did hear multiple gunshots. So when we say the gun malfunction facing this person, I'm guessing that was after the gun had fired properly before, or do we know which one happened first?
Yeah, we believe the shots were fired first.
Okay, so the shots were fired. So, I mean, we know the gun worked. Thank God nobody got hurt. But then all of a sudden, at just the right time, a miracle malfunction, which, I mean, we'll take it. You know, 100% we'll take that. You and I do the you know, did you know or cop myth. And just in talking about this, I do have a one I'm not sure about. I said desk duty. You said administrative leave. What does that look like for an officer? What are they actually doing when that's happening?
Well, right now they're going through interviews and a debrief. And then after that, they may come to the station and do administrative duties at the station. It can mean a bunch of things. We could get into that, but it's just a lot of different things that they could be doing. But that's just standard procedure while the investigation's going on.
Oh, sure. I knew in my head I perceived it as doing, you know, paperwork and other kinds of things inside the station. But the way it suddenly occurred to me that maybe they're actually not in the station. And I'm assuming that under more traumatic circumstances, or if they need the leave for whatever reason, that's accommodated to them. Just that the standard is that they're going to be working in some capacity.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Anything else about, I know FDLE is taking over, so I know you're kind of limited on all the various things that you might be able to say, but anything else about this case, you know, motives, background, who this person was, obviously, people ask questions like, well, was he trying to get killed or who knows? But anything else about this that we know at this point?
No, we don't. And I'm sure FDLE will get to the bottom of it. Again, we don't know what was going through his mind, what his personal situation was. I don't have any of that information at this point.
All right. Very good. Man. Mike, as I recall, a city council meeting, I think is where this had been announced. They were talking about there being some kind of a high police presence at the Baptist Legacy campus. I thought it was supposed to be today, where they were going to be basically going in and clearing the building to make sure that it's safe for the ECUA workers to reactivate the water supply to get the fire suppression system going, so that while demolition is happening, if God forbid there's a fire, they can take care of it. Because there's been vandalism, there's been, you know, criminal activity. You and I have talked many times about people going in over the fence line while it has been closed. But were you able to find out if that's going on today or know anything about that?
Yeah, it is. Our SWAT team is going to be there. It will be an exercise, a clearing building exercise. But on the other hand, it'll be real as well, as far as making sure that there's nobody in there living there or camping there before this demolition begins.
Okay, so it's a combination, actually clearing a building that we want to make sure is safe for the ECUA and the demolition workers, but also, hey, while we're here, you know, this is a really good opportunity to use an interesting structure and do an active shooter training drill at the same time. So if people see a lot of police in that area, that's a planned thing. Is that the main takeaway?
Yeah, that's it. While, you know, while it's abandoned, it's still a former hospital, and it's going to be great training as far as, like you said, a possible active shooter or how to clear multiple floors quickly. That's what they're going to be doing.
Do you happen to know a time? Do you happen to know when that's going to be taking place?
I don't. Okay. I can get back with you on that.
Okay, great. One of the other big stories, of course, a terrible story. We have this, and you and I talked about this last week, that this two people were killed when a driver went across the center line on scenic highway a couple of weeks ago on a Friday. Of course, their person had been talked to, essentially at a traffic stop over on the west side. That was the sheriff's office and county EMS, not you guys. So I know you're not responsible for that, but you've made an arrest now in that case, right? Or an arrest has been made, I should say.
Yeah, and folks are wondering what took so long. And what it is we drew blood when he was taken to the hospital, and it takes time for that blood test to come back. And when it did, it showed that he had excessive amounts of medication in his system and should not have been driving. So he was arrested on a warrant in Spring Hill. He's being held in the county jail there awaiting extradition back here.
Are you able to say what kind of medication? Are we talking illegal drugs, prescription drugs? In the sense that we'd be able to know what the nature of the impairment is, but it wasn't alcohol. That's the main thing, right? Not alcohol?
Right. It was not alcohol, and I don't know the specific narcotic.
Okay. But in any case, in your judgment, this was a violation. This is why the two manslaughter charges have been issued for driving under the influence, because the blood test shows the narcotics are at a high enough level where it would have impaired him to the point where he should not have been driving.
That is correct.
Okay. All right. Very good. Anything else that's going on? I mean, that's not plenty. I had wanted to ask you. I may periodically check in with you about this. First of all, the parade went off without a hitch, basically, right? I didn't see anything happen. But you tell me, the parade was fine on Saturday. Parades.
Well, there was a little hitch, and people did exactly what we asked them to do. When we say, if you see something, say something. There was the parade Friday night. Took off about 10 minutes late because there was a backpack that was abandoned near Jefferson Street. So we were made aware of that. We have ATF on the scene for these parades. They cut it open, determined that there was no problem with that bag, and then the parade got started 10 minutes after that. So besides that, we had two great days of uneventful, on the crime side, issues, but we had a great parade both nights.
And a good multi-agency cooperation event with the mobile command center was at the PPD headquarters. No, where was it located?
That was at City Hall.
At City Hall, okay. Where everybody's working together to keep their eyes on everything at the same time, which is, that's all good stuff. But the other one I wanted to check in with you about is, you know, we're, gosh, now pushing, I think, 7 or 8 months of, you know, open carry being legal. Has this caused an issue in Pensacola? Have you guys had any confrontations, any problems, I don't think I have seen a single person carrying a gun around town since this happened. Now, John tells me that it basically every single person in Santa Rosa County is open carrying right now. so it's a matter of which side of the water you live on, I guess. But has this been an issue at all?
No, we haven't had any issues with that at all.
I will take the win. All right. Did you know, or are you aware, or cop myth, however you want to call it, when it comes to radio conversations, we all know the kind of classic, sort of hilarious example from the movie Airplane.
Flight 209er, clear for vector 324.
We have clearance, Clarence.
Roger, roger. What's our vector, Victor?
How accurate is any of that for radio chatter for you guys?
It's pretty close, and we quote that line to each other all the time. I think cops across the country do that. That was a great scene. But what they're talking about is what I'm about to talk about is the word Roger. And a lot of people, the misconception is that it's an acronym for Received Order Given Expect Results. That's simply not true. That's not what happened. It actually is for the word R back when you had Morse code. That it was for R. And this back in the 1940s, the U.S. Joint Army Navy phonetic alphabet to represent the letter R, which stood for received in voice radio communications. And it was used by pilots and soldiers to confirm that a message was received and understood, but not necessarily that they were going to go through with that order, which would have been Wilco. So in 1956, the phonetic alphabet changed from Roger for the letter R to Romeo, which is what we currently use today. Police, military, they use that. So that's how the Roger came to be. We still use it. Most officers, civilian officers, use the code 10-4 instead of Roger, but you still have some, especially former military, that use the word Roger when they are saying yes or 10-4.
Okay, so when somebody says Roger Wilco, they're saying, I hear it and I will obey it or I will execute it. Instead of, if they just say Roger, it's kind of I won't say passive aggressive, but, you know, like, maybe I will, maybe I won't. I didn't say so, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much right. Roger Wilco is totally different, but we don't use that in the police department. We use Roger every once in a while, but the Wilco is—you probably ought to do it anyway, whether you Wilco or not. You probably ought to go through with what they told you to do.
Of course. So, really, the dream scenario would be if you ever hired an officer whose name was Roger Tackleberry.
Yeah. Or if his last name was Over, which I work for a captain over in Kentucky, so yeah.
One more time, I love the reactions I get from Mike Witt. Is my very favorite thing about this job.
Roger that.
Mike Wood, he is the public information officer and my foil sometimes for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as always, I appreciate you, sir. I'll talk to you next week. I can't believe I almost called him son. That would have been funny, too. Oh, well. I love it when I get a good pause moment out of Mike, because that means I've done something he was not expecting. 551 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Frontier Motors, great place to buy good quality used cars. You hear Dave Ramsey talking about them. You hear me talking about them. You see the license plate frames and the bumper stickers all around town. In fact, that's one of the things that it's, you know, how many people does it take to tell you a place is good before you believe it? I mean, you know me, you know Dave, but you know the neighbors and friends and just strangers at the stoplight. Because when you start looking, and I do recommend you try this, if you've never done it, it's actually kind of a fun experiment. You'll hate me for it afterwards, but try it anyway. Just keep an eye out for Frontier Motors license plate frames and bumper stickers. And try it today, and you might notice zero, you might notice one, maybe two. And then if you try it again on Monday when you're driving in, you know, and then you notice three or four. And then on Tuesday, you're like, five, eight, what, did anybody buy a car anywhere else? And that's the point. Thousands of people have bought cars from them over the years, and they endorse them by keeping that information on their bumper because they know it's a good company, a local company that's helping people buy better used cars for more than 25 years right behind that big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Raise your glass as Wine on the Water, the Grand Tasting, returns to Wahoo Stadium on Saturday, March 7th. Enjoy fine wines, craft beers, and gourmet bites from Pensacola's top chefs, all set against the stunning backdrop of Pensacola Bay. Don't miss live entertainment and a croquet and rosé tournament, plus breathtaking sailing. Get your tickets now at givesacredheart.org. That's givesacredheart.org.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Something important happens.
You don't have time to wait.
Breaking news lives here.
Here.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Good morning, 5:54 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. Hold on. I flipped over to the wrong thing here.
Well, flip off of that thing. Whoa.
So the Trump administration is expanding the authority of immigration officers as part of the president's crackdown on migrants. ICE officers have now been granted broader powers to detain legal refugees awaiting a green card to ensure they're re-vetted. There was a DHS memo dated February 18th that said refugees must return to government custody for inspection and examination 1 year after their admission into the country. Parents of victims are now pushing to block Camp Mystic from reopening after that deadly Texas flood. Families who lost children in the Texas Hill Country disaster are now urging the Texas Department of State Health Services to deny the camp's license renewal, as the owners were planning to reopen for this coming summer. And U.S. jets intercepted Russian aircraft near Alaska. NORAD said two Russian bombers, two fighters, and a spy plane entered the Alaskan Air Defense Identification Zone Thursday, prompting the launch of some F-16s, F-35s, and KC-135 refueling planes to escort them out of U.S. airspace.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 5:56 on News Radio 92.3. We are inching closer to having something to actually vote on in the state of Florida. We've got, because on the property tax issue, because as we've talked about several times, there are like six or seven different bills that have been filed. The governor, you know, is expressing frustration with the House because the governor and the House do not get along for, you know, a while now. And, you know, the Senate has basically done nothing yet, so it's all kind of up in the air. But the House did vote 80 to 30. That means 10 people missed the vote. Anyway, HJR 203, which would put a ballot measure on the general election ballot in November of this year, it would eliminate all of the non-school taxes for properties with a homestead exemption. So you wouldn't pay anything except for the schools, which would cut your property tax bill roughly in half, maybe even a little bit more than that. I have to read the language on that because it makes me wonder, would that include like MSBUs and MSTUs? Because if that's the language, that's, wow, that's holy Batman. Because, you know, MSTUs, MSUs are a lot of times used for, you know, particularly important things, infrastructure, but also funding the sheriff, like in Santa Rosa County. And, you know, you got the fire service MSBU in Escambia County. So, wow, that would be amazing.
We can ask Alex.
Oh, we ask Alex. Yeah, yeah, we'll ask Alex for sure. That's a good question to ask him. Of course, we know what Michelle Salzman thinks.
What, the Florida?
No, I don't know who voted for it. I have to check the vote. She may have voted for it. He may have voted for it. Party line says they probably did. So anyway, we'll talk with him about that next hour. Good point. Senate Appropriations Committee Chair Ed Hooper, according to the News Service of Florida, says that they haven't decided when they're going to put a date on having the Senate consider its alternatives or even that same bill in the Senate. We'll see. And I think that's all we have to say at this point. Will this one be something we vote on? Uncertain. If it does become something we vote on, will, and by the way, if I remember correctly, the governor does not have to approve the joint resolutions to go on the ballot. So if the Senate agrees, it just goes to the ballot, whether DeSantis likes it or not. And so, you know, we'll see. Do I think that one would pass? Yeah, a lot of analysts think that none of these things are going to pass. I'm not so high on the confidence of my fellow Floridians. I just because I think you would get a lot of people to show up to vote for the first time in their lives if they could kill off their own property taxes in doing it. So I think that's one that if you put it on there, people would pass it. I think there's a lot of conversation between now and then about how you fund things. But anyway, and would you be able to increase sales tax and so forth to offset it? The in-weekly power list is out, and our owners actually show up on the list. Dave and Mary Hoxing, the owners of News Radio, Cat Country, ESPN, or what, Sports, what is it name? What's the name?
Sports Radio powered by ESPN.
Okay. and the playlist. We went through a name change recently. So they're on the list at 77, 71, somewhere in that vicinity, which is fantastic. I'm big fans. They do amazing stuff. Top of the list. Did you see this? You see who's number one on the list?
It's Andrew McKay.
Sheriff Simmons. Oh, no. Rick would not make me on this list. No, but yeah, they are number 77 on the list, and congratulations. But Sheriff Simmons and DC is number 2. And in fact, Alex Andrade is number 5. So three of the top 5 are regular interviews on this show. News every